Hello, this is Dr. Randy Turpin. I want to address right now some practical guidelines for healing ministry. And I'm going to look primarily at how this might be done in a worship service, and then we can look at how the ministry of healing might be applied in public places, okay? And so, you know, how many of you know you don't necessarily minister to an afflicted person in Walmart the same way that you would in a highly energized, spirit-empowered worship service? It might look a little different, okay? Same God at work, same healing gift at work, but the way you actually go about it might be a little different. Well, in a worship setting, what does this look like? I would encourage you that if you're part of a prayer ministry team that has the opportunity to minister to people at the altar, that before you get into that worship service or into that ministry time, check your own body. I'm talking about your physical body. You know, what afflictions you might be suffering from. Are you yourself already having a pain in your ankle, for instance, or are you having a headache or a toothache or some problems with eyesight or whatever? Check your own body out. Well, why? Why would that be important? Here's the reason why. There are times when the Lord will give you a word of knowledge regarding an affliction somebody else may have, by causing you to feel their pain in your body. For instance, on one occasion, I felt a sharp pain go through my left ankle. It was a signal to me that someone in that service had a sharp pain in their left ankle, okay? My wife once received partial blindness in one eye during a worship service because there was someone there that God wanted to touch that had partial blindness in one eye, all right? So the reason we check our own bodies out in advance is you check out your own body in advance because you don't want to confuse your own pain with someone else's, okay? If you're already having pain in your back and you get into a worship service and you experience a shot of pain in your back, it's not likely that that's a word of knowledge, that God is trying to call out someone with a pain in their back. You're probably just having pain in your back. Do you understand what I'm saying there? So if you kind of rule all of that out in advance, check your own body in advance, then you pretty much have a clean slate, so to speak, going into that service. And it, I think that makes sense to you, because it is a powerful thing when the Lord can cue you in into what's going on with someone else through sensations in your own body. All right, but let's say that you're in a ministry time and someone comes before you. It might be at the end of the service or another designated time, or maybe just a spontaneous time in fellowship with someone. It's obvious to you that someone is needing ministry or prayer from you. And I begin with asking a question. You know, what is it that you need from the Lord today? You know, what do you need Jesus to do for you? And just listen to them. But after you've asked and you start to listen to what they're saying, do more than just listen to what they're saying. Listen for what the Holy Spirit may be saying between the lines. Listen for what the Lord may want to reveal to you prophetically. Sometimes the thing that they're saying is just kind of a presentation thing they're saying, and the real things that God really wants to get to are not necessarily being vocalized on their lips, but the Spirit of God begins to speak it to you, okay? Now, don't force this. Don't always act like you've got something prophetic beyond what they're saying to you, okay? But leave yourself open to that for a leading of the Holy Spirit as you're listening to what they're saying. And then you prepare yourself to minister to them on the basis of what you know, on the basis of what you know through what they just said, on the basis of what you know through what the Holy Spirit has revealed, okay? But before you minister to them, you ask permission to minister to them. You ask, do you mind if I pray with you now? Or may I place my hand on you? You want to be sensitive to their sensitivities. Some people don't like anyone touching them. Other people expect it, okay? In some cultures, it's considered a serious violation to put your hand on their head, okay? Whenever touching someone of the opposite gender, you want to be especially careful on that, okay? I typically will, I like being paired up with, usually it's with my wife. I encourage prayer ministry teams to be men and women paired together, preferably husband and wife paired together, so that if it's a woman you're ministering to, the woman in the prayer team takes the lead. If it's a man you're ministering to, it's the man that's taking the lead, okay? You, because you don't always know who's in front of you. You don't always know what they might claim. Hey, you know, he touched me in this or that way. You just want to be careful about that. You're just using wisdom. I'm not trying to put fear in here, but just wisdom in how we go about this. But so you're asking permission. May I touch you? May I pray with you? And I usually just place my hand on their shoulder, okay? Or if I feel compelled of the Spirit to do so, if I feel like hands need to be placed on the actual part of their body that's afflicted, I will say, would you place your hand on that area of your body? And if appropriate, you know this, just use some wisdom. Sometimes I'll place my hand on top of their hand, or if it's in a very private area of their body, of course, you wouldn't even do that. You just touch them on the shoulder. You don't really even have to touch them at all. But if a touch is going to take place, you ask permission. May I place my hand on your shoulder? And I usually will not place my hand on their head unless the leadership of the house has released me to do so. Okay? To place your hand on someone else's head, you are assuming a posture of authority over them in that environment. Okay? If you're not the pastor of that church or one of the leaders of that church, you make sure that it's okay with the leadership of the church before you place hands on somebody's head. Okay? There's just something about that, all right, that you may be in a church environment where that's not a big deal. You know, they don't mind you laying hands on the head. But in some environments, that's not really allowed. It really is very important to honor the culture of the house, okay? So just follow leadership when it comes to that. So the point I'm making here is you ask permission to touch them, okay? Then in going into the time of ministry to them, you don't need to pray long, drawn-out prayers. Save your long, drawn-out prayers for your private prayer closet. Do you remember the example of Jesus? He ministered between places of prayer. He didn't pray typically while he was ministering. There were times he did, like when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he prayed and all that. But his prayer was done in private, and he ministered in public. And how did he minister? He did it by declaring prophetically an authoritative word, be healed, or to demons, he says, be gone, or to eyes that were blind, be opened, you know. And you don't see Jesus with long, drawn-out prophetic declarations, just simple commands. I sometimes say, in the name of Jesus, I release God's healing power to you right now. And sometimes I'll speak to the affliction in a more direct way. I just try to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. This isn't reduced down really to exact words you have to say, but something that is basically just faith, based, faith-oriented declarations and words that carry with it the expectation that God is actually doing something in that moment. Not just that God might do something or that eventually God will do something, but you come into it fully expecting that in that moment, God is working healing in that situation, okay? So you speak authoritatively, prophetically. And I'm not saying it's wrong to pray. Pray if you want to, but make your prayer short. Make sure it is a faith-oriented prayer. Please don't get into a whiny prayer of, oh, God, you see how this sister has suffered. Don't go there, please. You don't need to do that. Just don't need to do that. And sometimes people will come to the altar and they'll have a circle of friends they'll bring with them that might want to pray those long, whiny prayers. Sometimes I actually have to say to people, guys, I really appreciate your love and support for your friend right here. I really do. I feel like the Lord's giving us a specific direction here right now. If you don't mind giving us a little space, could you just kind of sit back on that front row there or stand back there, and you can pray back there while we're really trying to engage your friend here in prayer. Sometimes the problem is there's been far too much sympathy around the person. Do you know what I mean? Far too much sympathy. And sometimes people unknowingly have partnered with the affliction. Unknowingly. They don't intend to, of course. But what we need to do is partner with the healing. Okay? Partner with the breakthrough when you're ministering to people. Okay? So yeah, if you get people around that are still in that mode of distress, it kind of hinders the whole situation. So if possible, kind of politely, very politely, remove them from the situation, and then keep your ministry time very direct, full of love, full of compassion. You know, remember Jesus sometimes, he would first minister to them in a way that's kind of like saying, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? You know, don't give up. Don't be fearful. You know, if you sense that there's fear, do as Jesus did. He would often rebuke the fear first. He says, right now, I just break the fear off of you and any worry that you've got on you right now regarding this situation. And Father, we just pray that you would just now release your peace. So I just declare the release of the peace of the Lord over you right now. And may the presence of God come upon you. And then just very concisely speak the healing. Okay, moving on. So what we've talked about before so far is you ask them what they need. You've listened to what they say and to what the Spirit is saying as well. Then you ask permission to touch. You touch and you speak. Okay, the next part of this is you test it. This is where you're calling for an act of faith. You test it. Say, okay, can you tell me how that's feeling right now? And I've seen so many people, they go to test it and they're totally surprised. You see this look on their face. They look shocked that either the pain is totally gone or it is greatly reduced. Now say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's that feeling for you right now? And many times they'll say, it's totally gone. Or they'll say, well, it's better. I say, okay, if it's just better and not totally gone, then we pray into it again, okay? Even if it is totally gone, sometimes I'll pray again. Lord God, we just thank you for what you've done here, what you're doing. We rejoice over it, and we just declare that this is a sealed work in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're surrounding our friend here with protection, Lord, in a sustained health in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, okay? So then you celebrate it, okay? You celebrate what God has done, and make sure you don't exaggerate what's happened. Don't exaggerate it. In fact, I'm very cautious about declaring to them that they are totally healed, okay? That's up to them to make that declaration, all right? And we never tell people that you don't need to take your medicine anymore. We never tell people, oh, you don't need to go to the doctor anymore. Sometimes we even say now, do you have another appointment scheduled? So, okay, now you have your doctor check this out, okay? Because this would be a great testimony to the glory of God if he checks this out and he discovers that you're totally healed from the situation. But see, it's very important for us who are ministering to not be the ones to say to them, okay, you're totally healed now. Okay, now that's their place to make that kind of declaration. But at the same time, you do celebrate what God has done. Don't exaggerate it. You can say, this person has no more pain. You can say that if that's what they have said. Or you could say their pain has been greatly reduced. Or you can say this person was not able to see, but they can see now in Jesus' name. So there you go. Leave the results in God's hands is the last thing I want to say. So we ask, what do you need? We listen to what they say. We ask permission to touch them. We touch them. We speak the healing word to them. Then we ask them to test it. If there's a need for further prayer, we repeat all of that. We do it again. And then when it's all over with, we celebrate whatever God has done. Even if nothing has happened, you celebrate the fact that, oh God, you're pouring your love out on this person. If by all means, you don't want them to feel like they are something less than what they should be because they didn't have a breakthrough, okay? And You don't try to come up with reasons for why they weren't healed. Say, well, maybe you aren't reading your Bible enough, or maybe you don't have enough faith, or you don't even put it back in yourself, or maybe we don't have enough faith. None of that. You leave the results in God's hands, and you celebrate what He has done, and just leave it there, okay? Okay, so now there in a worship gathering, that's kind of the way you go about that. But how would you do that? How would you do all of this in a public setting? All right. In a, now, you could even, some of this you can even do in the church setting too. But in a public setting, you want to do it all conversational. You don't raise your voice when you're praying or when you're making your prophetic declarations. You speak conversationally. And you don't close your eyes. You always keep your eyes open. I would even encourage you when you're praying with people in a church setting, keep your eyes open. And I would even encourage you in the church setting, yes, speak with authority, but you don't have to raise your voice necessarily. Not unless you just feel the Spirit of God compelling you to do that. But you see, in a public setting, you want to be very honoring of whatever environment you're in, as and also honoring of the dignity of the person in front of you, okay? Which is another thing I need to point out. Always protect the dignity of that person. You do not want to embarrass them. If somebody has an affliction that would cause them some embarrassment, I once met a person who had a severe disorder on their feet, a great disfigurement on their feet. And it would have been the wrong thing to do to say, why don't you just take your socks and shoes off right now and let us see what's going on here. That would have really been the wrong thing to do in that setting, okay? So you want to protect the dignity of the person involved, all right? Okay, those are some basic guidelines for healing ministry. There's a lot of things I'm not even getting into here about, you know, the anointing of oil and all of that, and that's certainly appropriate. There's biblical basis for that. But make sure you're following the protocol of the house, the guidance of the house. If you are a pastor or a church leader, I'd greatly encourage you to train a team of people on how to do this rightly, okay? I know in some church cultures it's okay for, well, everybody come up here and everybody pray with anybody you want to. Well, maybe that's the way you do it, and maybe it's okay in your context, but I really encourage people, why don't you work with a trained team that's trained in the right way to go about this kind of ministry, okay? So there you go, guidelines for healing ministry.